It's about that time.
Stoned on Sports.
Early season volatility presents opportunity in fantasy baseball, especially when it comes to trades. Pull up a seat as we help you to exploit that opportunity with six players you should look to sell high on and six that might present a nice opportunity to buy. How's it going, everybody? You are tuned in to the Stoned on Sports podcast. My name is Matt. I am joined here by the home chef, Kyle, and we are absolutely thrilled to be back live today. I know our episode for last Thursday was pre-recorded, but we are back live again, as he said. If you haven't already, please drop us a like and subscribe. If you're enjoying our content, if you're not, go ahead and hit that dislike button. Don't really care either way, as long as you're watching. Kyle, how's it going, buddy?
Doing great, doing great. See, we got Blue Yays in the chat. Hey, boys, Supersonics in the chat as well. Good to see you guys here.
What's going on, fellas?
I'm shocked Dubo's not here. I hope he's okay because he's usually the first guy in the chat. But let's go ahead and get it started. We'll start with a few guys here that you should sell high on. First one is Alec Bohm with the Philadelphia Phillies. Got dual eligible at first and third. He's the number three third base in fantasy right now, 115 points. He gives you 3.9 a game. You like to see that. He's been scorching hot at the plate. Multi-hit effort in eight of his last 10 games, batting 548 during that stretch. He's got his batting average on the season up to 365. That only trails Betts and Will Smith, both Dodgers. Crazy. Overall, he's 38 hits, 118 plate appearances, 12 doubles. Love to see that. One triple, four homers, 26 RBIs, 16 runs, and throwing a stolen base for extra there as well. Those 12 doubles I mentioned, second in the Major League Baseball behind just Ohtani. 26 RBIs I mentioned, second, tied for second with Sal Perez, and just behind Marcell Ozuna, who's having a great season. His OPS is over 1,000, slugging's over 600. That OPS is third in the league behind Betts and Ozuna. His walk rate is great at almost 12%. Strikeout rate is equally great at 16.1. A peek at his Statcast shows, you know, a sea of red along with a few average to slightly above average rankings. He's at least top 23% in expected batting average, where he's top 6%. Slugging, sweet spot, chase, whiff, strikeouts, and walks. Average to slightly above an exit velo, barrel, and hard hit rate. You'd like to see that. Looking at sort of more of his batted ball profile, ground ball hitter 42% of the time. His line drive rate is up a couple percent and almost 6% higher than league average. Basically, he's pulling the breaking balls and he hits fastballs the other way. What he is pulling the ball more than ever at 34.1. That's over 4% higher than league average and over 5% more than his career average. And his oppo shows similar increases. What I really love about him is his contact numbers. He's swinging at just 27.8% of pitches outside the zone so far this year, and he's chased at 33% rate in prior seasons. So you like to see the improvements there. Even when he does chase, his 79% contact rate on pitches outside the zone is far higher than that 71.2 rate he had coming into the year. I really, really like it. On pitches in the zone, contact 89.9%. That's sick. That's very high. He had an 86.7 rate coming into the year. I don't think he's going to. So the reason I'm going to say he's a sell, he can't quite possibly stay hot over this longer stretch of time. His BABIP is extremely high at 420, well above his career rate of 327, and even higher than the league average around 290, 294, depending on your source. But since his exit velocity numbers are pretty similar to previous seasons, that BABIP will likely regress a bit going forward. He has made some gains in the plate discipline department that could perhaps be more sustainable. He's definitely shown a pattern of growth each season that he has been in the league. He had that awful sophomore season in 2021. He's definitely, you know, gradually been climbing in terms of his results and his approach at the plate. What's also encouraging is damage from both sides of the plate against lefties and righties. Whereas years past, he seemed to be leaning towards, you know, the short side of a platoon role. So this season, his OPS is over 1,000 for righties and lefties. I expect the success versus same side pitching to come back to earth, as last year he slashed just 701 OPS against right-handers and 929 against left-handers. He's a sell for me.
Yep, I agree. And you look at his Statcast page and you see all the red and you're just, you get all a flutter in your belly seeing that, right? Look, he's a good hitter, but he's not this good. I'm going to take you back in time 10 days, 10 short days on 420. This dude was hitting 261 with a 378 on base and an 842 OPS. In the nine games since, 553 average, 561 on base, 1429 OPS with a 588 BABIP, which is just ridiculous. Obviously, you know, I'm not really telling anybody anything when I say that is not sustainable. His right. overall BABIP is not sustainable, especially when you're talking about somebody who doesn't really hit the ball exceptionally hard. There's going to be regression coming in his walk rate and his average. Right now he looks good because of this hot streak. Agree wholeheartedly with you on the sell. I think he's a fine piece to a team. I think I would rather have him more as like a corner infielder or something like that, as opposed to my starting first baseman or third baseman.
Excellent.
So next up, we got a guy who has really done damn well so far. I think Loud Boy, you've got him on your team, or at least you did at one point during this few weeks of roster churn that you've had there. And I'm talking about outfielder Stephen Kwan from the Cleveland Guardians. You remember Kwan from Jerry Maguire, Cuba Gooding Jr. talking about he had to get the Kwan. Well, right now, Stephen Kwan has got the Kwan. He is a low-end outfielder one, high-end outfielder two, just depending on your scoring. He's got a 339 average, 371 on base, good for an 829 OPS. He's got three home runs. Six is his career high, so he's halfway there already. He's driven in nine, got three steals, 11 strikeouts, six walks, a league-leading 40 hits, and a league-leading 25 runs. This dude rarely swings and misses, just a 7.7% whiff rate, an elite 8.9% strikeout rate, and he's top 20% with his chase rate. He hits the ball with no authority whatsoever. He is bottom of the league in hard hit percentage, EV, max EV, barrel rate, and his exit velocity on average is down year over year, 2 miles an hour to just 84.2. I think I drove a little bit faster than that on my way up to your place this past weekend. So that doesn't really inspire much hope.
Right.
His walk rate more than halved. It's down to 4.8%. His ground ball rate is way down to 33.6% per Baseball Reference. It was at 45.4 last year. And we've seen the corresponding increases to his line drive and fly ball rate. His pull rate's also down by 6% with an increase of him going up the middle. At the end of the day, he's a better than average hitter in terms of average and on base percentage that offers little to no power. 20-ish stolen bases, and this year the Cleveland offense is surprising a lot of folks around baseball. I think he's got a chance at 90 or 100 runs scored, but even then I think he's going to be somebody who ends up finishing somewhere in the top 30 to 40 outfielders, which is what he's done his first two seasons. But there's not a whole heck of a lot of upside there. And he's really starting to cool off over his last 10 games. He's 11 for 40 with four extra base hits, four RBIs, three walks. Does have a couple steals, and he's not struck out. I think because he doesn't strike out all a whole hell of a lot, and because he does a halfway decent job of getting on base, I like him better in points leagues as opposed to roto leagues. But regardless, his ass is up for sale.
Yeah. He's had a couple hit streaks. He's currently on a five-gamer now. He had an eight-game earlier this month. In fact, in the whole 27 games they've played, he's not got a hit in just five games. multi-hit games in 11 of those 27 games. I don't see him continuing this historic pace, because that's what it is. He's got some comps. I didn't go too deep in it with Hank Aaron, the way that he has just produced this first month of the season. It's
Hank Aaron, Stephen Kwan.
Exactly. Now, you know, maybe with today's news of Mike Trout coming out hurt that he tore his meniscus, maybe, you know, you hold on to Stephen Kwan. I could totally understand that for some more depth there. But otherwise, I'm trying to sell.
For sure. So we got Dubo back in the chat. He's out there grilling. Beautiful day for it. Not making a juicy Lucy, though. He's just got his special seasoning on there. And then Loud Boy, in response to Stephen Kwan, he fits his weird lineups. Brother, as long as you win, that's all that matters.
I got you in the podcast league, Loud Boy. It's on. It's on. Hopefully your strategy doesn't work. Good luck. All right. So, okay. You know, we decided yesterday who we were going to talk about. And one of them is Mr. Mike Trout. It came out just less than an hour ago that he tore his meniscus and is going to have surgery on Friday. No timeline from the team, but, you know, you could probably guess anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks as well. He's not in danger of missing the rest of the season. So I had him as a sell. I'm still going to talk about him anyway, because I spent 45 minutes per player researching, and you're going to fucking hear about it. He is the number 10 outfielder in fantasy points right now. That's going to change a little bit. He's slashing 226, 328, 557 with 884 OPS. Great walk rate. Great strikeout rate. Those 10 runs, though, why does he only you might ask, 14 RBIs? That's because he's only hitting 100 with runners in scoring position. He has not hit a three-run homer in more than a calendar year. And the fact that the hitters on his team aren't in the lineup are not reaching base. Can't drive him in. So there's no Ohtani there anymore. He's been a little unlucky with the bat, but it's at 200. Remember that average is 290-ish. He's been 300-plus BAPIP in all of his seasons but two, his rookie year and 2019, and he just missed it at hitting 298. So Statcast peak, redder than Pam Anderson's bathing suit in Baywatch. His worst percentile rank strikeouts are at the 51st percentile, still above average, but he's top 3% in expected slugging, max exit velocity, top 10% in barrel and chase. Hard hit rate, while he's still in the top 35% in the league, he's just at 42.5. Really concerning, because he's a guy that's always been in the low to mid 50s, well, at least three out of the last four seasons. So something to look at there. He's definitely very, you know, he's older, you know, he's 32 now. He's definitely a different hitter than he was in his younger days. He's become such a pull heavy fly ball cranking machine that if he stays healthy this year, he is likely to hit career high 50 home runs. Not happening now. And you'll see that increased power. It does usually always lead to more strikeouts and fewer hits, which you've seen with him. His batting average is below 300. You know, like most players, even the greats like him, your average is not going up as you get older. It's just not. So, sell now because of that. Maybe you can get some deal for him while he's injured. You never know, but it's a sell because of, you know, the team context, obviously the injury history. I suppose if you, you know, drafted the world's worst fantasy outfield this spring, you know, you might hold on to him, but, you know, that's on you.
Yeah. The timing on this really sucks.
It does.
You know, because the concern with him coming in every year is his injury history. Not played in 140 games since 2018. 2016 was the last time he played in 150. And even so far this year, really all he's giving you is the power with his 10 home runs, but just 14 RBIs. He'd been leading off quite a bit lately, but there is absolutely no reason whatsoever to even pitch to him, right? Who do you want to pitch to, Mike Trout or Zach Neto?
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you a minute to think about it.
Right.
You know, it sucks because he's, you know, one of the great players in the game. He's a future Hall of Famer. And it almost makes you wonder, like, what could he have been if he could have stayed healthy?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So now I ain't going to worry about it because my ass wasn't dumb enough to draft him in the first place.
Same.
So.
Same.
Sucks to be somebody else, right?
Yep.
So I'm surprised we waited this long to talk about pitchers, but that wait is now over. We're going to talk about Ranger Suarez of the Philadelphia Phillies, and everybody is just thrilled with what he's done so far this year. He's the SP2 overall in 6 games started. He's 5-0 with a 1.32 ERA, first in baseball. He's got that backed up by a 2.60 FIP, 2.40 XFIP. He's got a whip of just 0.63, which is also first in baseball, 40 strikeouts, 5 walks across 41 innings pitched. He just come off a 32-inning scoreless streak. So that's why he's got those amazing numbers. With his pitches, he made some adjustments in the offseason, and he's actually seeing some improved drop with both his changeup and his sinker, leading to a ground ball rate just a hair shy of 61%. And he's always been a ground ball pitcher, right? Well over 50% for his career. His line drive rate and fly ball rate are both down to considerably, and he's getting a lot of infield fly balls. He's got an outstanding 3.5% walk rate, averaging just 1.1 walks per 9. Strikeout rate up 27.8%, just a hair under 9 strikeouts per 9. And that's in line with where he's been the past few years. He's been doing a good job working the edges of the plate and just outside the zone, as well as keeping his pitches down. But we're talking about a dude who is very streaky. I'll take you back to last June. In 5 starts in June, he had a 1.08 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 8 walks, 4 earned runs, and 33 and a third. How did he finish last year? He had a 4.18 ERA with 119 strikeouts, 48 walks, and 125 innings pitched. He had a hot streak in July of 2022. 1-0, didn't allow any earned runs across 3 starts, 16 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 16 innings pitched. He's inducing very weak contact right now, leading to a 191 BABIP, which is 100 points below his career average. We're going to see regression there. I think some of his gains are real, you know, the improved command, better movement, but not to this degree. I don't think there's any reason why he can't finish as a solid mid-rotation guy, but he is certainly not an SP1 and absolutely not a top 5 pitcher. His value will never be higher than it is right now. If you are going to sell him, like you look up sell high in the dictionary, and there's going to be a picture of him standing there like that. Like, move on from him. You can probably get a nice return for him.
Yeah.
I'm selling.
Yeah. He's definitely represents immense value as, you know, just a number 3 guy, you know, really. He's hottest pitcher in the NL right now, but he doesn't throw hard. Fastball velo is 91.5, bottom 15% in league. So how does he put up these numbers? He hits his spots precisely and does not allow that hard contact that you mentioned. So he's also a hell of a road pitcher. 2.48 ERA on the road since 2021. That's the very best in baseball among the 61 pitchers with as many innings. So he's got some value, could help you in fantasy. I agree with Matt. Sal, this is the time. Right meow.
Who's next on the list?
We're sticking with pitchers. Why the hell not, right? This is a guy I actually have on my fantasy team. I think 2 teams, actually. Seth Lugo with the Kansas City Royals. He is the number 8 starting pitcher so far. He's averaging almost 19 points per outing, which is that I'll take that all day long. 6 starts, he's 4-1, 38 innings pitch, a 1.66 ERA, and a 1.11 WHIP. Strikeout rate, it's not great, 15%. Great walk rate though at 6 flat, and he gives you them extra points too with quality starts. 5 of his 6 outings, quality starts. Love it. Win at least 5 1/3 in all 6 starts. Allowed 2 earned runs or fewer in 5 of 6 starts, allowing 0 earned runs in 2 of those outings. And just 2 homers allowed in those 38 innings pitched. It's a 0.47 home run per 9. Excellent. So when I pulled up some of the data pages here, I got, you remember that scene in Tombstone where Kurt Russell's Wyatt Earp just slaps the shit out of Billy Bob Thornton's character? That's how hard this stat came off the page here and slapped me in the face. His left on base percentage, it's damn good. It's at 89.9, but it will not have a chance in fucking Hades of staying anywhere close to that. League average is around 72%. Many pitchers with great LOB percentages like Lugo's are usually the best strikeout pitchers in the game. You know, that ability to record strikeouts is a huge advantage when trying to strand runners on base. Lugo is not a strikeout pitcher. He recorded his career best last season with 140. He did have strikeout rates in the high 20%, but that was a few years ago when he was with the Mets in that relief role. So I think it's, you know, even extra important for those of you in roto leagues with an ERA category. His ERA will regress when a pitcher is stranding runners at that high percentage, more than is expected. It's likely that the pitcher's ERA is going to come back to earth in the near future. I believe it will. When you think about the color blue, it's often associated with like excellence, distinction, high performance. Think about the ribbon they use in fairs and expos and other events. It's blue, right? That's the color you see when you look at Lugo's Statcast data, but it's not for excellence or distinction. It's for shitty. Okay. I wouldn't even give him a participation ribbon. Okay. The walk rate is great. Like I mentioned, top 25%, hard hit rate, slightly above average. But he is in bottom 36% of league pitchers in all the other categories. Some low lights, bottom 12% in strikeout rate, bottom 20% in whiff rate. Ground ball rate's horrible at 38%. He's in the bottom 30%. You just can't expect this success to last. I'd be looking to try and sell him now, as I am in one of my leagues where I roster him. Can't hear you. Turn your mic on, bud.
Thanks.
There you go.
You didn't have to scream there, princess. Yeah. You're absolutely right. His stat cast is a sea of blue other than his walk rate. And you were talking about, you know, all the quality starts and everything. It's important to note that five of his six starts were against the White Sox twice, Minnesota, a struggling Houston offense, and Detroit. He had a start against Baltimore, and he got knocked around a little bit. He does throw 7 pitches more than 5% of the time, which is just ridiculous. His slurve, and I thought this was an interesting dichotomy. His slurve has his highest whiff rate at a little over 40%, I think it was, and also the highest batting average against of any of his offerings. So you're either getting a hit or you're swinging and missing. There is no in between with him. Yeah, okay. Sell his ass.
Nice.
So we got another pitcher to talk about here. A converted reliever. Jordan Hicks of the San Francisco Giants. He was a reliever for the entirety of his career until he signed with San Francisco and they brought him in to be a starter. He's a back end of the rotation guy so far, but there's, you know, some nice results stats here. He's 2-0 across 6 starts with a 1.59 ERA. 310 FIP, 375 XFIP. So there's going to be some regression there. Just a 0.91 whip, 27 strikeouts, 10 walks, a home run allowed across 34 innings pitched. He's allowed 1 or 0 runs in 5 of his 6 starts. And in the other, he allowed 2. He's also gotten 3 runs of support in 4 of his 6 starts. He's got 3 quality starts out of those 6, and he's gone at least 5 innings in all of his starts. He's in the top 10% in ground ball rate, and he changed up his pitch mix this season. He's throwing his splitter a little over 22% of the time, which is up from 1.6. He's got that 10-mile-an-hour delta that we talk about, liking between his sinker and his splitter, which account for 74% of his pitches. And usage of those 2 pitches are helping to drive the ground ball rate because both of them move downward in the zone. He's limiting hard contact. He's top 25%-ish in hard hit rate and exit velocity. His K per nine, though, is just 7.1 with a 20.8% strikeout rate with below average chase and swinging strike. However, in his last two starts, he did have 12 and 15 swinging strikes, and he's throwing strikes 63% of the time on the season. Walk rate is fine at 2.5 per nine, 7.7%. But over the past 2 years, he's thrown 65 and two-thirds and 61 and a third innings. He, like some other dudes around the league, are going to be coming up on an innings pitch ceiling. Teams generally are only going to increase innings 30 to 50 innings per year, and that would only put him at just over 100 innings for the season. I don't really know how they're going to go about limiting it. I doubt they're just going to get to, later on this year in August and just say, all right, you're done. Thanks for everything. So they'll pull him early, or they'll skip a start, something like that. There's ways around it. But as the season goes on, he's going to be losing value.
Yeah.
Sell him now while you can get a decent return for him. And I know it almost seems counterintuitive, because we've talked about a couple of pitchers in a row here now to sell pitching when everybody's dropping like flies, right? It's going to happen anyway. There are going to be players who get called up. There's going to be starters who emerge. And that's why we preach being active on the waiver wire and really understanding matchups. There's absolutely nothing wrong with streaming starters. Tune in on Thursdays with our two-start pitcher previews for the following week. We focused on low-owned dudes. We can help you get a decent return on the guys who are overperforming now and help you bridge that gap for the rest of the season.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Hicks has looked good. He kind of, watching some of his games, he's got some great poise out there with runners on base and really didn't flinch during some issues. And I think that mindset probably likely comes from all the jams he had to deal with during his time as a reliever. Side note for injury, he did have a little side tightness his last start. Apparently he's fine, but still, worth keeping an eye on. Heading into his next turn in the rotation. His pitch arsenal, it's nice that he can be a successful starter. That splitter looks pretty legit, but as a sinker first guy, there's going to be a lot of pressure on his fastball command, especially against lefties, and he's really never been above average in that. So I agree with Matt. Sell him if you can, especially that innings limit thing is huge, huge. Now Matt's going to talk about some buys.
Oh, you are up next.
Oh, I am next. Yeah, see?
Thanks for paying attention.
I don't ever pay attention. All right, next up, third baseman Austin Riley with the Atlanta Braves. Currently the number 20th third base in fantasy points right now. Not, what you drafted after he finished as the number two third baseman last season. 26 games, he's got 25 hits and 119 plate appearances. Eight doubles is nice, one triple, two home runs, 14 ribbies, 16 runs, 10 walks, and 30 Ks. Slash line's not great at 234, 311, 383. That strikeout rate is high at 25.2. Walk rate's right about average at 8.4. BABIP slightly above average, about 10 points at 307. Looking at some Statcast, specifically his power numbers, this is, a lot of the reasons why, he's a good buy. He's going to come on soon. Expected slugging's at 457. That's top 30% in the league. I think, that's why it's important to look at, instead of just the actual outcomes, the quality of contact. A game this weekend on Saturday posted an exit velocity of over 100 miles an hour on three different batted balls, but failed to get a hit on any one of them. So the hits are coming, the power is coming, the extra base hits are coming. He's a good buy candidate. Barrel rate top 10% of the league. That's pretty much where he's been the last two seasons. His exit velo is top 10%. Max exit velo is top 7%. That hard hit rate is equally impressive at 50.6%, which is top 13% in the league. The whiff rate, it is bad right now. He's not chasing many pitches, which is good, but he's whiffing on a lot of them. So he's definitely struggling with off-speed pitches, whiffing at an almost 43% clip with a .77 batting average and six strikeouts. I think, you know, he's still getting, you know, some timing down, getting more dialed in. And really what makes him scary going forward is the fact that few of the Braves superstars are performing up to expectations. When they do, watch the F out. I'm a buyer all day long.
For sure. You know, and it's one thing I don't want people to lose sight of is just what kind of a player we're talking about here. We're talking about a 27-year-old that's finished in the top 10 of MVP voting the last 3 years. What does that mean for fantasy? Not a goddamn thing. But it gives you an idea of the caliber of player that we are talking about. When you hit the ball as hard as he does and as frequently as he does it, everything's going to come. Just be patient. At the end of the day, we're still talking about a dude that can give you 35 home runs with 100 driven in and 100 scored this year.
Yep.
Right? And even looking at like his batted ball data, most everything is pretty much in line with his career averages, minus, you know, plus or minus 2 or 3%. He is the hitter that we know that he is. And this is just a run of 30 days of subpar performance as it relates to expectations. If you find an owner out there panicking on him, you need to be knocking at that door with an offer in hand. Go get you him, because he's going to finish as a top five third baseman without a doubt.
Absolutely.
We got another third baseman that we're going to chat about today. And this is somebody that I know, speaking for myself, I was very high on during draft season. I think he's got a lot of potential, and that is Ke'Bryan Hayes of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And right now, just being real, he is a back end number two third baseman. He's got a decent slash line, 282, 367, a 736 OPS, just one dong, nine driven in. He's not stolen a base. He's got 20 strikeouts, 13 walks. Not bad. He's decreased his strikeout rate each of the last three seasons. This year is down to 16.7%. Anything under 20%, and I'm happy as a pig in shit. His walk rate up is up seven, or his walk rate is up 7 points to 10.8%. He's hitting the ball on the ground more. And when you are not a burner, like Willie Mays Hayes, he is not. This is Ke'Bryan Hayes,
right?
You don't want him hitting the ball on the ground. That's up 13 points to just over 54%. And his fly ball rate is down 11 points to 28.2. I don't think it's an approach change. I think it's just a matter of circumstance. His EV, max EV, hard hit rate, and barrel rate are all at career lows. His chase rate and whiff rate are also at career lows and a few points below average. He cut his chase rate by 5%, his whiff rate by 4%. I think this is more of smaller sample noise for him. His swinging strike rate, outstanding, 6.5%, right? His zone contact rate, 10 points over league average. All right. So we've established he's making more contact overall, just under 85%. He struggles with pitches on the outer half of the plate. That is not news. He struggled with them last year and the year before. I think his ground ball rate is going to drop. His fly ball rate is going to increase, as will his quality of contact. We're talking about a guy who hits in the top third of the order there in Pittsburgh. And we talked about his potential for 2020 upside during draft season. I think the possibility is still there, provided those corrections happen. And you look back to last year, he started almost identically last season, and he turned in a 15-10 season. So just a little bit of growth, and we're right there knocking on the door of 2020.
Yeah, and he's been hot of late. He's had hits in 8 of the last 9 games, including 3 2-hit games. You mentioned top third of the order. He's mostly hit the 3-hole last 2 games. He let off. So interesting. I guess I agree with the buy. I think the talent's there. I want to just make the viewer aware of, you know, the team context there is just not so good right now. they don't hit for power. They don't really hit at all. You know, the watching some of their games, their lack of aggression at the plate has just really led to a lot of strikeouts this year. You know, when they score 4 or more, they're 12-1. When they score less than 4, they're 2-15. So they started the season hot there in Pittsburgh. I know this is fantasy, but the team context is important to mention. Hopefully they can turn it around. He can start producing, get some help. Sure.
Yep. And we even talked to during draft season that Pittsburgh team is a team that is very long on potential and short on production.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Let's move around the diamond to the shortstop position. And we're going to talk about wrong button. Francisco Lindor with the Mets. The switch hitter is number 19 shortstop in fantasy right now. Finished number 2 last season behind Bobby Witt Jr. So, you know, not what you paid for. He's slashing 202, 290, 376 with an appropriately dreadful 0.666 OPS hex on the screen. You know, not good. He's got 4 doubles, 5 home runs, 11 RBIs, scored 15 runs. 12 walks, 21 Ks, throw in 3 stolen bases. BABIP's low for him. He's at 202. He's consistently been in the high 200s or even 300 in that mark in his season. I expect that to rise as the season progresses. Looking at some of his Statcast data, he's slightly above, slightly below average in many categories, including barrel, hard hit. His expected batting average, slugging, walk, chase, whiff rates are all slightly above. So there's some reasons to be hopeful that he turns it around. He's making excellent contact in the zone at 84.4%. And while it's above MLB average, it's 2% worse than his career average. I mentioned his chase rate is above average, but when he does chase, he's making contact just over half the time at 51.7%. It's a problem. He's 6% lower than the MLB average, but it's weird. He's a whopping 15% lower than his career number of 66.4. Look for that to improve as well. Line drive rate, so far, worst in his career at just 18%. That's pretty low. His career and the MLB average are both right around just shy of 25%. I think he's starting to come around. He notched his 4th homer over the last 9 games. Sunday, coming into Sunday's game, he only had 1 steal. He got 2 as well. So he's a notorious slow starter, folks. He always has been. His career OPS in March and April is 758. You know, July, August, September, 843. Buy low now if you're able.
Yeah, his start last year was abysmal.
Yeah.
And he turned that into his first 30-30 season, right? Yep, so yep. You know the talent is there. The BABIP, obviously low at under 200. I like that he's still walking plenty. His strikeout rate is 6% below average. You like the 5 home runs, but, you know, just 9 extra base hits total. All that's going to come. And look, we just talked about this with Pittsburgh, and we're going to talk about it with the Mets. That offense got off to a really slow start this year. They're starting to come around as a whole. I expect him to improve right along with it. He's a hell of a shortstop. He's going to finish as a top 5 shortstop this year, just like he does every damn year, regardless of how he starts out. Buy low, go ahead and get you some profit over the next 5 months and laugh all the way to your championship.
Heck yeah.
So I've got a soft spot for this guy and Dubo. He's up there with you up in the great white north of Minnesota. And I'm talking about Joe Ryan. He is, we'll call it a low end SP2 right now, just depending on your league size. Across 6 games started, he's just 1-1 with a 3.38 ERA. His FIP and XFIP, though, are about a half a run lower. Got a 1.03 whip, 41 strikeouts, just 5 walks, 4 home runs given up, though, in 34 2/3 innings pitched. And with him, home runs have been an issue. He gave up 32 last year in 161 innings, and he gave up 20 the year before in 147. So you know that going in with him, right? He can give up a home run to anybody. But we are talking about a guy who's in just his 3rd full season in the big leagues. He changed up his delivery this year too. He's getting much more extension. That means he's releasing the ball closer to the plate. That also alters the plane that the ball takes to get to the plate and makes pitches play up. And so, like, when you hear that phrase, that's what they're talking about. His fastball and splitter velocity is up. He's a four-pitch guy. His splitter gets a 32.9% whiff rate. His sweeper is at 40.4. He's given you four quality starts in his six starts, four starts with six-plus strikeouts and 11-plus swinging strikes. And overall, he's throwing strikes 70% of the time. So, you know, a few 4 or 5% over what you want. He's got a 29.5% strikeout rate, averaging 10.5 strikeouts per nine. And he's somebody who's always been above a strikeout an inning. Just a 3.6% walk rate, averaging, well, we'll call it 1.3 walks per nine. And that's who he's always been. He's always had below average walks. Right now, he is on pace for 200 innings and 230 strikeouts. That's essentially Gerrit Cole last season with an ERA about half a run higher than what he turned in. He's somebody who he excels at limiting hard contact. And right now his BABIP is 30 points higher than his career average. So we can expect some regression there. And we're seeing a nearly 10-point increase in his ground ball rate. Can't hit it out of the damn park if you're beating it into the ground. I think he's got a great shot to finish as a low-end SP1 this year. And if I have the opportunity to go get him for my team, depending on the price, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. That one point I want to talk about his walk rate there, that 1.3 walk per nine. It's just amazing. He was at 2.9 in 2022 and 1.9 last year. Does anybody know how meaningful counts are in dictating the outcome of an at-bat? It's just amazing. It's pretty substantial. When a hitter's starting, this is all last season's numbers, but when you're starting ahead 1-0 in the count, hitters generated an OPS of 826. In contrast, when falling behind 0-1, it drops exponentially down to 619. Getting ahead in the count is such a great thing for Joe Ryan. It doesn't guarantee success, but it sure can help. But that first pitch strike of his, it's almost at 72%. That's 5.5% higher than his career norm and a whopping 11% higher than the MLB average. He's just an amazing pitcher. Get him. He's third in the majors there at that first pitch strike rate behind, I think it was Brandon Fatt and Chris Sale. And Matt, you'd be interested to know, Tarik Skubal is number four.
Nice.
But Joe Ryan, if he can get some run support, he might not always get you wins, but he should get you plenty of strikeouts and a quality start.
Hell yes.
All right. One more pitcher. Oh, this guy. Yoshinobu Yamato with the Dodgers. Oh, guy's amazing. He's been a much better pitcher since that opening game versus the Padres during that Korea series where he got lit up in the first inning. Since then, he's gone at least five innings and five outings, averaging seven Ks and one walk per game. But he's just the number 32 pitcher in fantasy right now. He was the 10th pitcher roughly drafted off the board with an ADP of 47, so not performing as drafted yet. In six starts, he's 2-1, 28 innings pitched, 3.54 ERA. A 107 whip. Strikeout rate is excellent in the top 10% of the league at almost 32%. And the walk rate is just as excellent at 5.2. Very low ground ball rate, 37.5. I expect that to come up a bit as well. He's also been hit very fucking hard at 47.2%. He's the bottom 14% of the league. If he hit the innings qualifier, he just missed it though, by the way, he'd be tied as the 10th hardest hit pitcher in baseball. But he does make up for it in above average chase and whiff rates and that 95.3 mile an hour fastball, which is top 25% in the league. Okay, so this guy's a rookie because it's his first year in the MLB. Let's not forget he's been a pro in Japan since 2017. Last season, he was amazing. 17-6. He had a 1.16 ERA, sub one WHIP. Only allowed two homers and 170 plus innings. That's just sick. When pitchers, there's a few things pitchers need to. You come from Japan or anywhere overseas for that matter, and you play in the majors. There's just things are different. Okay, the ball's different in MLB versus the MPB. The MPB ball's slightly smaller than the MLB one. They use the same number of stitches. But the seams for the MPB are definitely smaller. So the conventional wisdom is the smaller seams make for a better grip overall. The surface of the balls in Japan are tackier than Major League Baseball as well. You know, Major League Baseball, people complain about them. They've been noted for their slickness, I guess, for lack of a better term as well. Yamamoto coming into this year, he played in the World Baseball Classic. They were using MLB balls by Rawlings and that. So he had some familiarity with that. But you come over from overseas, pitchers, hitters as well, they usually take a step back in production when playing. This is likely due to the elevated competition in Major League Baseball. It's tougher. Pitchers specifically, they typically struggle first half, sometimes the first year. Darvish did, Maeda did. Tanaka did, Kikuchi did. It happens. And another thing, what this is probably easy overlooked. You're probably not even thinking about it in fantasy land. He has that additional challenge of adapting to life outside of his home country. I think there's a psychological aspect to that. Definitely is a factor in performance. I think it places a greater burden on those players as well. You know, see, everything matters for fantasy. I just made it true. But buy him if you can. I really like him. Great team context there, obviously, with the Dodgers. I love him. What do you think?
I would agree with that. You know, the hard contact, you don't like to see that, but he's got the elite strikeout numbers. He's keeping the ball on the park. He's not walking a whole lot of dudes. He's got that better than average chase rate, an excellent 12.3% swinging strike rate, and a 34.2% called plus swinging strike rate. So he's not only is he getting swing and miss, but he's fooling people at the plate. That adjusting to the new ball is a thing. You're absolutely right. And when you take a look at pitchers that come over from Japan, pretty much all of them struggle. At least during the first half of their first season. Now, there are some exceptions. Tanaka, Hideo Nomo, they did pretty well right off rip. But otherwise, no. But once we get past the All-Star break, I think that's when he's really going to shine. You brought up the point about, you know, he moved to the other side of the world. It's a brand new culture and everything else that takes some getting used to. By the end of the year, dude's going to be fine. I don't necessarily know that he'll be like a top five pitcher, but I think he'll be in that high-end SP2, low-end SP1 range, which is about what you were expecting when you drafted him earlier this year.
Absolutely.
So now we're going to go to the other side of the battery, and we got a catcher to talk about. And this is another dude that we were kind of high on coming into the season. And that's Gabriel Moreno of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Right now, he's somewhere around catcher 20, just kind of depending on your scoring. You know, you look at his line, all right, a 234 average, not great, 337 on base. You like to see, you know, shit, that's a 100-point difference right there.
Yeah.
662 OPS is low. Dude hasn't hit a home run yet. He's driven in 12. He's got as many walks as strikeouts, just 6 extra base hits. You want to remember, this guy has less than 500 big league at-bats. And still, he cut his strikeout rate by 7 points. He's upped his walk rate by 5 points. He's in the top 10% in strikeout rate and whiff rate, top 20% in chase rate and walk rate. You'd love to see that plate discipline there. When he does chase, he makes contact 81% of the time, which is almost 20 points better than league average. However, something to keep in mind, when you chase and you make contact, usually that contact isn't the greatest. A slow little dribbler ground ball to second base generally doesn't help anybody. But still, good things happen when you put the ball in play. His BABIP is about 50 points below his career average. He's got just a 4.6% swinging strike rate. Fantastic. His line drive rate is down 11 points. Fly ball is up 9 points. So he's hitting the ball in the air more. He's struggling against breaking balls big time, just a 182 batting average on those. He's not somebody who has historically gotten a lot of hard contact, but I do expect him to get back up at least to last year's levels in terms of hard hit rate and exit velocity. He's making more contact overall this year. And while he does hit lower in the order, you look at that lineup there in Arizona, they've scored the second most runs in all of baseball this year, which provides plenty of opportunity for run production in terms of RBIs and runs scored. You wish there was a little bit more pop in the bat. I think it's going to come as soon as this year. I still think he's got a halfway decent shot to get to 9 or 10 home runs and you know, drive in 60 plus, 70 plus, and score roughly the same amount, depending on, you know, how everybody does behind him. I know there in Arizona, Corbin Carroll is kind of disappointed this year, and he recently got moved down in the order. If they can get him going and get Gabriel Moreno going just a little bit more, that's going to be a scary ass lineup that I want a piece of.
Absolutely. And he's going to be out there. All right. He's an elite catcher defensively. You know, he's going to play. He did have the other day off, though, but those happen all the time. What I do like about him is his chase right outside the zone. He's really improved on that his few years here. He really developed a reputation as when he was a prospect as somewhat of a free swinger. In 22, he was 30.8. He chased 30.8 pitches outside the zone. That was worse than league average. Last year, he improved it a couple percent to 26.8. This year, it's elite, 18.4%. I think that's shown that he's very capable of leveling up even without the excessive power, if that makes sense. And last year, you know, I think he only had like 7 home runs. A lot of his power was largely gap power, line drive, singles. I'll take a repeat of that, even without the home runs as well. I'm a buyer. I was high on him, like you said, the beginning of the year. Late last year, I had him on my team for a little bit as well. I like him. I think he's going to heat up here as the summer comes.
Yep. And I do want to throw in, and I know this is unplanned, don't freak out, Kyle. Honorable mention for buy low is Matt Olson with Atlanta. He's looked like straight garbage this year. It's not age-related decline like you would think with somebody like Paul Goldschmidt. It's just a slow start. My God, if you can get him, go do it.
Yeah, so we hope we helped you out talking about a few guys for some trades that you can identify and try and improve your team one way or another.
Absolutely. It's been a fun chat today.
It sure has. Listener league standings for the podcast league. Bam. Oh, wow. You got to love that. Look who's in first. Me. Matt, where are you at?
In contention.
I got to look pretty far down. Oh, 1-3 in eighth. Brandon's holding down the bottom there at 1-3 as well. So good luck for everybody in the matchups. Again, Supersonic, you're going down.
Mm-hmm. I'm whooping Brandon's ass so far.
Cool. Okay. What's he say? Not for long, Kamish Supersonic says. Well, I mean, if you could take me down, that'd be a feather in your cap for sure, man. Good luck.
It's going to happen.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, it's been real. Appreciate everybody stopping by. If you have some players you want to discuss or are looking for some insights on, drop them down in the comments. We'd be happy to take a look at it for you and help you out as best we can. We will be back here on Thursday for our two-start pitcher video. And lastly, if you want to check us out but don't actually want to look at us, quite frankly, I don't blame you. We are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of your favorite podcast apps. So you can just listen. It might be a little bit better experience for you.
And it's available next day, so Wednesdays and Fridays at 7 a.m. Eastern. And also, don't forget to give us that like and subscribe. If you like this content, we'd really appreciate it. Heck yeah.
That's it.
All right. Have a great night, folks. Stay stoned.
See ya.